This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by OTC.watch, where investors go to find big data on small companies. That's OTC.watch. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. The last time she was on my show was back in August of last year. And I'm talking about no other than Treva Therapeutics. They trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol TRVI. Yahoo Finance has got a price target on them of $8.20. With us today is the president and CEO. She's going to bring us up to speed, Ms. Jennifer Good. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
Well, Happy New Year. Before we get started, we've got a lot of new listeners since August. Give them a little bit of about statement. Who are you guys, and what do you do?
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Well, I, as you mentioned, am the president and CEO. I'm also one of the two co-founders of the company, and we started this company back in 2010 to explore this broad mechanism around a drug called nalbuphine ER. And we've been looking at difficult to treat conditions that all have some interconnectivity. So we've looked at things like pruritus, which is severe itch coming from underlying really tough diseases. This drug actually has a background in severe pain. And then also kind of the new sort of our path forward here is around severe chronic cough, also linked to tough diseases. So really, we've been exploring this mechanism and trying to find treatment options for patients where they have not had any.
You know, since the last time you were on the show, your company announced positive top-line data from your PH2 canal trial. Can you please maybe give us an update and where are we at in that process?
Yep. So we had two big trials running last year. One was in chronic cough and idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And for those of you that don't know what IPF is, it's a disease of typically elderly, it's typically men in their 70s and 80s. It's a progressive fibrotic lung disease, really typically a mortality rate of about 3 to 5 years. So really end of life kind of challenging disease. One of the biggest aspects of this disease that patients complain about is this chronic coughing. And it's not just periodic coughing. It's, you know, on average 200 to 500 times a day. We had somebody in our study that we ran that was 1500 times a day. So we all know the stigma of being out with COVID and coughing at all, even when you have a little throat.
Right.
Yeah. So for these people, it's very isolating. It really disrupts their life. It's also believed to possibly contribute to the overall pro-fibrotic mechanism of the disease. If you think about the microtrauma of coughing 1,000 times a day and what that's doing to your lungs, certainly not helpful on lungs that, you know, have issues with them. So what we're trying to do is settle down that coughing and also potentially impact the underlying disease. So we reported out our full phase two canal trial results, which was a proof of concept trial in September. The data was hugely significantly positive. We had a response on drug of about a 75% reduction in that cough over 3 weeks, which is tremendous impact. I mean, patients definitely felt it. And not surprising, all the patient-reported outcomes that were secondary endpoints around sleep and quality of life all were highly statistically significant as well. People felt better. So that was exciting for us. We saw nothing new on the safety side, nothing to be worried about at this point. And so we're moving forward really with cough as our lead focus. And we were able to raise money. I'll keep that for a separate conversation in September. So we have plenty of cash to execute these next phases of development. But we believe what we think is the best in class option for chronic severe coughing in multiple conditions. Our lead focus is IPF, but we think that this kind of goes across several disease indications.
You know, I read a very interesting article yesterday that 41% of the population in America are baby boomers. Every day, somebody's turning, 10,000 people are turning 60 and older every day in America. And that just blew my mind that 41% of the population are baby. So you guys probably are onto something with the age mortality and everything.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm not proud to say I'm knocking on that door. It's not too far away, so I get it. But you're right. I mean, as the population gets older, people want to live a healthier quality of life, be active. So it's the right place to be. It's where a lot of our chronic diseases sit.
What do you have planned for in this year in terms of clinical trials, and what's in your pipeline?
It's a very busy year for us clinically. I think the nice thing for potential investors is, you know, this story's been significantly de-risked. Last year, we got very good, we had statistically significant trials in both severe pruritus and severe cough. So it's clear the drug works. It's been in a lot of patients up to a year. We haven't seen any, you know, new safety signals. You always have to watch for that, but not anything at this point. And we were able to raise money. So we've got cash, actually, to take us into early 2026, which if you followed biotech, that was an unusual set of circumstances to be in. So what we're going to execute against this year is moving along our IPF cough program. That we're going to look at two things with that. We're going to do a dose ranging study. So it became clear in our data that we were getting a response very early at very low doses. So we obviously want to interrogate the low end of this dose range so that you're able to dose patients at a minimally effective dose. So we'll start that study. We haven't officially laid out all the details because we're still in discussions with regulatory authorities, but it'll be roughly 200 patients, 50 per arm, probably three dosage strengths against placebo. We'll start that in the second quarter of this year, and that'll run into next year. So that's an important study to be able to move into our pivotal trials and understand the right dose to take to patients. In parallel to that, we're also going to run a phase 1B safety study, which is around, it's called a respiratory physiology study. And what we're trying to do is, these IPF patients have a lot of comorbidities. They take oxygen, they're on CPAP machines, yada, yada. So we're really in a disciplined way, bringing them in, keeping them for a few days, looking at their respiratory function as we dose them in the sicker patient group, just to make sure that we understand the safety of the drug in sort of as broad a population that people with IPF are affected by. So those are the two key studies there. And the last point on cough, we will also initiate a refractory chronic cough study, which is a big market. It's sort of a different indication. And that'll be a crossover study. It looks like what we just did in CANAL. And we'll initiate that third quarter of this year. And there's been a lot of excitement around sort of that, how big that opportunity is and what the unmet need is there.
Well, that kind of brings me to my next question. Good segue. You know, as you mentioned earlier in the show, you've had a lot of success data come in on your IPF chronic cough trial. Now you're starting to expand into your refractory chronic cough research. Why now? And what do you think you're going to obtain out of that?
Yeah, so the refractory chronic cough market has been interesting because there's been a lot of different drug study there, most of which has failed. There's only been one mechanism that's been able to show efficacy there, which are what's called these P2X3s. Merck's got one, Bellus has one. The thing about the P2X3 mechanism is it works peripherally on one chain, sort of along this whole pathway. What's interesting about our drug, nalbuphine ER, it works both peripherally along this pathway, but it also works centrally at the brainstem. So if you think about sort of this little section right at the bottom of your, at the top of the spinal cord there, it mediates coughing and breathing. And our drug works in that area. So it doesn't matter which of these peripheral triggers are getting tripped. It eventually has to get up to the brainstem. So we believe that's why our data was so compelling. I mean, the drug worked in our IPF population in every single patient, which you don't see very often in drug development. And we think it's because it's catching it as it comes through that central spot. So we're interested in looking at refractory chronic cough because, again, these P2X3s only work on one of these peripheral chains. And we think we could work in a lot broader patient population. So we're going to run the experiment and see if that's indeed true.
I want to switch gears here just for a second. Since the last time you've been on the show, you've added a team member onto your team, CMO David Clark, Chief Medical Officer. Why him and why now?
Yeah, so David joined us. He's been terrific. He joined us in November, although it feels like he's been around a long time. David he's an MD. He's got a very good background in two things in drug development. One, he does have a good respiratory background, so that's relevant as we work our way through our cough program. He also has a background of being CMOs at a lot of companies doing rare disease kind of work, which the hallmark of rare disease is there's never sort of a charted royal road of, you know, right, what you do, both from a regulatory perspective or a development perspective. And David's had a lot of success of designing key trials that have been really game changing for the company. And two of his companies actually have been acquired for quite healthy premiums based off trials that he designed and oversaw. So he understands how much work it is. He's willing to get in and not only do the really heavy intellectual sort of thinking, but also roll up his sleeves and put pen to paper. And he's just a really nice guy. So a good manager for our team. We are a drug development company, so a lot of the company ends up rolling up under him. So really happy with that hire, and he's already made a big impact at Trevi.
As I mentioned earlier, Yahoo's got a price target on your company at $8.20. Your current stock price is trading at $2.78. Before I let you go, what is it that you want my listeners, your stockholders, to take away from today's interview?
Yeah, I mean, every CEO always says their company's undervalued, but I think it's easy to look at some comps here and say, yeah, that's probably true. I think, you know, Bellus is a good comp in their refractory chronic cough indication. I think their market cap's up around 900 million. You know, ours is somewhere around 250 to 300. So, Cara is another good comp, which is in the pruritus space. I think we have de-risked a lot of this. It came at a time when the markets were tough over the last sort of year plus. We were able to raise money, get in some very good investors, Fraser, Venrock, Viking, really top tier names in biotech. And so I think we're well positioned now to help this get out to a broader audience and let the stock sort of get to where it should be.
Jennifer, I want to thank you for coming back on the show. I'm a big fan of what you're doing out there. Hopefully you'll come back in the next 40 or 60 days and give us an update.
Great. Thank you for having us.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.